In terms of the case studies that you've been looking at for economic development, there are three main ones. The first one that we'll be looking at is the Lafarge Plasterboard Factory in Ferry Bridge in West Yorkshire. It's adjacent to the Ferry Bridge power station. Obviously, it's going to be great in terms of transport links, that is close to the M62 and the A1. But part of that was to use a byproduct for the limestone scrubbers that reduce some of the sulphur dioxide smoke emissions from Ferry Bridge actual power station. Now, one of the chemical byproducts of this is gypsum, which is a raw material which can be used to manufacture plasterboard. So not only is it saving the environment in terms of the landfill for this gypsum where it would otherwise go, but it's also creating jobs in terms of creating this plasterboard and then getting it to manufacture and getting it sold out to local businesses. So it's been a massive benefit to the area. Again, another development that's happened in the local area is the new Haribo factory, which is going to be opening in Normanton. It's due to open in 2013. Haribo are a German firm, so we're looking at a transnational corporation here, or multinational corporation, to use another term. And as we know, that it's well known for making things like gummy bears and cola bottles and different kind of sweets like that. It's a prime location that they've chosen, Normanton, in that it's really, really close to the M62. Again, so great transport links. It's going to be good for the area after the decline, after the mining industry is sort of closed down a little bit around the area. So hopefully it's going to do a bit to reduce some of the unemployment. In terms of the impact on the area, it's almost entirely been positive. As I say, we're talking about these new jobs. It's hoping to create around 300 new jobs. We're hoping that traffic won't be a problem in the local area due to the position of the site. There's going to be extra traffic lights at the roundabout and things like that that have happened, and most of the traffic's going to go straight on the motorway, so it hopefully won't produce lots of congestion in the local area. And we're hoping that it's going to create this multiplier effect in the area, whereby if Haribo were there, then lots of other companies will want to be there. So again, we're looking at really, really positive benefits on the local economy. And then the final case study that you've had a look at is two different case studies really within one in Tanzania. The first was a small-scale aid project set up by an NGO, non-governmental organisation, called Oxfam. So this was a small-scale aid project, as I mentioned, so it's like a bottom-up scheme is another way of calling it. Basically what it was is it's a scheme set up to get the like different houses and different buildings built, and it was set about to for young people. It's called Youth Builders, but basically what they do is they train one person in building and carpentry school skills, and then he'll go on and train other people so that they're able to start building these cheap houses. It only cost Oxfam £6,200 to buy the tools in order to get this running, and the idea is it's kind of like a self-help type of scheme or self-reliance scheme. So instead of just giving the locals the houses, they are training them up and they're in turn getting skills, and it's a lot cheaper as well to do it that way. On the other hand, there's the larger scale project as well that's going on in Tanzania, a bilateral scheme, we'll call that one. So it's a top-down, lots of keywords, but that's basically what it is. It's called the Canada Wheat Project. And basically what they've done there is they're producing lots and lots of wheat in Tanzania. 80% of it is grown in Tanzania, but there's been a lot of mechanisation of the labour, so there's not a lot of jobs available now for the Tanzanians, and a lot of the wheat is going to be exported, 50% of it's exported, so it's not even helping to solve problems such as famine. They're throwing nomadic tribes off the land, so the people who live there are losing their homes. As I said, there's limited job opportunities, and then in turn they're not getting the wheat. It doesn't go back to the rural people, to the poor people, and they can't afford to purchase it as well, because where perhaps before they were subsistence farmers, they can't actually afford to buy the food in. So that's those two case studies within one in Tanzania.